What's up, everybody? Dear Albie, and I am stuttering because holy shit, what a week! Candace is here.
Hello.
Mom's here.
Hey.
They're getting along to this point.
We never fought.
We could fight. We went on this, then go upstairs and have rigatoni like we did.
That's exactly what we did.
Yes, we did. Rigatoni right after.
The community, however, is fractured at best.
I know. Okay? I never expected this.
We are going through it.
It's a great debate.
It is a big debate, okay? It is hotly contested. Sides are everywhere.
Yeah.
People are upset. Some people are laughing. Most people are just that there's a deeply emotional reaction with this, and we had to come back. Lauren is not here, but the community did one thing that I have never seen before. You guys did the impossible.
We made Lauren likable in the community.
Lauren seems to be the clear winner in this.
Yes.
But there are people that have very, very, very strong opinions towards you both.
Yes.
I have a stack very high of letters to you both chiming in. I'm going to call this episode Chime Smoke. Because there's a lot of chimes that are coming in and they all want that smoke.
Okay.
All right, I'll take it.
So I'd like you guys to respond directly. I'm going to give you guys your opportunity to voice your opinions directly to the source
Okay.
And then you guys can say, please say their name and say, you want this smoke? And then respond. Okay. So you're not necessarily arguing with each other.
Right.
We're going to argue with the people that wrote in.
Okay.
And I don't like to do that to the community. All okay.
Right.
But this is a civil war.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay.
Right. Ready.
So with that, couple important little things of note. The community voted on Instagram. Mm. There was a very slight and small margin. I believe it was about 60-40.
Mm-hmm.
Siding with Candace.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was Team Candace.
Mm-hmm.
Team Dear Albie mailbag was Team Caroline.
Mm-hmm.
Similar margin. Okay. I don't know what that says. I don't know what that says about us. However, I will give Candace the opportunity first to clear her name, because there were charges made against Candace that she was going on fake accounts and voting for herself on
like,
the poll.
Would I ever? Somebody said I was Venmoing people money. I was what?
I don't see you Venmoing people money. I don't think that was true, but I do think you did go on your cousin's account
so
and vote for yourself.
I'll tell you the account story. So Lauren has me doing
so
her. Lauren has me doing her full blown Instagram. So they send me all their pictures, and I'm the one who posts everything for full blown. So they were sending me their pictures. I was logged into Full Blown, and I was just logged in. So I start going through stories because I'm not paying attention to the little fucking circle on the bottom. And I see the poll, and I was like, oh, shit. So I voted. Kept going, going, going. And then I was like, holy fuck, I'm on Full Blown. And I was like, fuck it.
Let me ask you this.
But then I tried to go back once told me, but you just can't delete it.
Simple question. Had you voted for yourself prior on your own Instagram account?
No, I voted for myself.
So the first vote you voted was on Full Blown.
And that's when Lauren said that. And I looked back and I said, oh my God, I am on Full Blown. And I went back and I go, I'll change it, but you can't.
It can be an honest mistake. I don't know if I believe you, but it certainly can be an honest mistake. So we're going to let that pass.
But I mean, you are clearly taking multiple votes. You are clearly trying to vote multiple times.
So no.
Well, then you shouldn't have voted on your own.
Well, I said delete that vote.
No, they don't do that. You know that.
But you can.
No, you can't.
Well, yes, you could look at the toll and take one away. Or put it to Lauren. But whatever the case may be, that's how it happened. And I did not Venmo anybody. I would never.
I don't think you would Venmo
fucking
somebody.
Ridiculous.
That's beyond crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was another level. But yeah, that was
We're going to get right into it, guys. All right? So please.
Ready.
Here's who first wants this smoke. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Bill and Colleen want this smoke.
Bill and Colleen?
Bill and Colleen.
Okay.
Both of them.
Got it.
Hi. Dear Albie, I listened to your podcast today, and what boiled my blood was Candace comparing watching cheer practice to watching your child in school. Extracurricular sports and activities are for fun. Every other sport and activity parents can watch. You either think cheer is important as school? Ridiculous.
Nobody
Especially since you were saying this about 4 and 5 year olds. Bill and Colleen.
Bill and Colleen, nobody said that. Oh, I compared it to a teacher.
No.
Bill, you want the smoke?
Yeah.
Colleen, you want the smoke? Nobody said that shit. All I said is it's the same thing. You're trying to teach your kid and you got parents looking over your shoulder. It's not cool. As a teacher, as a coach, as anybody, as the cleaning lady, if you got somebody watching over your shoulder, it's not cool. Nobody likes to be micromanaged.
May I rebut one moment?
Sure.
When you, in closing last week, when I asked you if you went to Gabe's practices, you said, of course I do.
We're required there, yes.
Okay. And then I said, well, how does that, you know, how do you compare the two? And you said, well, Gabe's practice is outside. So yes. My question to you is this. If cheer practice was outside, would the parents be able to go?
Yes. Just like rec cheer practice is outside, we all have to go.
You wouldn't like try and find a way to tent it?
No. Hmm. Not if it was out. If it's outside, it's outside. But
is this a COVID thing?
No. This is a football. They require us to be there. Rec cheer, they require us to be there too. Comp cheer is a closed door thing. It's a completely different sport. You know, rec cheer is way more calm. And like I said, you're allowed to go to all the practices.
Well,
for rec.
Candace admitted today that comp cheer is cutthroat.
It's extremely cutthroat.
So this is my point. And I don't know if I made it clear in the conversation, because clearly I was heated because my little chicken doodle.
Right.
All right. Number one, the reason that we had this conversation to begin with, people were saying, well, Caron, you shouldn't be fighting for your grandmother. This is the parents' fight. This is my niece, and we're together all the time.
Yeah.
And it became a family conversation rather than a sports conversation.
And you take a very large part in raising Marky with, along with Lauren and Vito. You right. are very close with them.
Right. So, but this was a family discussion. So now you also chime in on this if you'd like.
Yes.
I would never, never go to the cheer, the coaches.
No.
Never.
Never.
I don't even go to her practices.
No.
Never.
I don't even think you know where the gym is.
No. You know, I dropped her off once. Never. So that's number one. And number two, people are saying, well, Marky has to know that she can't be the one picked all the time. That wasn't my argument. My argument was that she was the only one not participating while the rest of the team was participating. So I just didn't think as a 4-year-old she could process that information.
I think I've been pretty clear on the rules of this episode where right. want, people have smoke and they smoke. Want the smoke.
Well, right. that, I
but
wanted
why
to,
are you going in advance
because
trying
I
to clear
to make
smoke.
An opening statement to clear the smoke on my end because those were two things those were two things that I think people didn't
right.
understand.
This is getting very political debate-ish, which I can appreciate.
Go.
Chime. Hi, dear Albie podcast family. Number one, love you all. This will always be my favorite podcast. Number two, Candace is right about this cheer debacle. No offense to Caroline, but it's clear she doesn't want Marky in cheer, and she is absolutely overreacting about the short moment Lauren peeked through the window. Every child at some point in their life is an observer. It often happens in school, and it's a great way for them to watch and learn while paying attention. She's also being very unfair to Candace and the other coach about them attending their children's special football game entrance. The cheer coaches are volunteers and moms. I'm shocked Caroline isn't being more considerate about this. Also, she's making it sound like the team was alone without a coach, but the choreographer was clearly the coach for that practice, and Candace pointed out that the commissioner of the cheer organization sat with Marky to make her feel comfortable. As a listener, it sounds like Caroline is looking for an excuse to take Marky out of cheer. Labia, thanks for a great pod. Kristen.
Labia.
Okay, Kristen, here's your smoke.
There you go. Is that how I'm supposed to say it?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. I guess. Why not? Do we throw
it away?
It is not. Again, I'm going to reiterate that Marky was, again, if she was 8, 9, 10, 11, where she could understand the whys of why she was alone. Another thing, she was stood in the back. She didn't make a scene. She didn't stomp her feet crying. She was wiping away silent tears like a brave little soldier. All right. She just couldn't understand. She came home and said, everybody else cheered, but I didn't. Right. So she clearly thought she did something wrong. It wasn't the commissioner that was with it. It was another mom that happens to be a treasurer.
No, she is the co-commissioner of the entire Panthers.
Well, I am grateful for her being there.
And
because
she's also a certified coach.
Okay, I am grateful for her for being there because I don't think the choreographer gave two shits.
The choreographer's there to do her thing.
Understood.
Which is understandable.
Fine. But, again, my whole issue is at this point when you should, let's say T-ball. Let's use T-ball as the example. When our children play T-ball, Albie, you and your brother and sister play T-ball, right? You went up there and you swung 1,000 times until you hit the ball and you got to really, what are you learning? You're learning the basics of the sport.
Correct.
And you are becoming a team member by playing. you're going to run. I am not that person that believes everyone should get a trophy. If you remember, Albie, when you, again, I'm going to go back to the days when you kids were younger, I never said a word. I sat in the stands quietly, and we would talk about things in the car. And if I didn't feel that you were giving your best, or I felt that you wanted to be captain of the hockey team, why aren't I captain? Because you got to earn it. Okay? Why didn't I play? Because you weren't good enough.
Right.
Okay? Practice more. I am a big believer in that, and I certainly don't believe people should be handed things where they're not warranted. All right? My only thing is, at such a young age, mm-hmm. to be so competitive and to be so by the book and the rules, I don't think you're teaching them that now. Well, and it is going, and I am hearing that more and more by parents saying, my kid cries every time they should go to cheer. Mm-hmm. But once they get in, they're okay. They shouldn't cry.
But that's just part of it. That's like when you drop them off at a nursery school when they first start, they cry.
The thing is, you go to nursery school, the teacher's coming in, she's taking the hand, they're saying, come on, sweetheart, we're going to read today.
That's
we're going to play
yeah,
toys.
That's what I do.
You're not doing that
No,
there.
I do. Every time Marky gets there, I go, come on, Marky, let's go. We're going to go inside
this
together.
This didn't happen that day.
Oh, because I wasn't there.
P.S. But thank you.
Oh, we don't want to go down this road
but
again.
But also, but as far as this goes, what I will say, what you're describing as far as what you wanted to have this start as is more of a rec cheer thing. That's a way less competitive. This is competitive cheer.
Right. And Lauren and I both feel, again, it's not my decision to make, all right, that this isn't for Marky. All right. But you keep saying, no, it is, because Olivia was this.
This is what actually what I want. What my thing, you know, I meant to say this, like, you know, your opening. When I said I want Marky to do cheer, I really do. And it's not because I want her to cheer. It's because I want her to have the experience of cheer. I want her to have the experience of starting at something where you are scared and you don't know anything. And you learn throughout the year. You see the progression of how you can get, and you put dedication and time into something, and look what you did. And now look at how great this is.
Right. Okay.
And that starts very young. And that's what I want for her. That's why I push her to stay. That's why I push Lauren to continue, as much as it's uncomfortable. And I want it for Lauren too, not just for her, because I think that it would be really cool for Lauren to see this through and to see, like, yeah, you know what? When I first started, Marky was scared and she did cry. And she went in there and she did it anyway. And she put 100% effort into it. And look at my kid. She's on the mat in her little uniform doing a cute little dance. And she's rocking it. And, like, even if she's not 100% in the routine, like when I first went for Olivia, the first year that we went for the competition, when I'll never forget it. I didn't know what the routine looked like. I went out on the bleachers. I sat down. I saw the routine for the first time. And I'm like, oh, my God. My kid is fucking horrible. She's a nugget the whole routine. This is, like, it was embarrassed. I was like, oh, I was embarrassed for her. I was sad. But guess what? She worked, and now look at her. I want that experience.
We're not
for
against
both
that,
of them.
But my point is to you, okay, would you agree that sometimes the tactics, okay, well, for the little ones, I'm talking 4 years old, mm-hmm. this is her third practice, okay, that you have to handle them differently than the older ones.
And I totally do. If you saw the difference between the middles and the littles.
Okay, but I don't think that this person did that. Okay, and that was my argument. Like, if you knew that she wasn't going to, you weren't going to be there, and she wasn't going to practice, and you weren't going to be there to explain to, hey, Mark, you know, what would have been so terrible for that choreographer to say, hey, Marky, come up here, stand next to me, and see if you could do these moves too. Why couldn't she do that?
I think, see, this is like the logistics of cheer, which I think you don't get, which is normal because you're not part of it. But it would literally confuse her. It would wind up confusing her.
Well, I mean, let's, on that point, dear Albie, I just listened to your podcast about cheer, and I was laughing and caught myself yelling, preach it to Candace on some of her points. I agree with all she said as someone being a parent and then being a coach. I know the feeling of wanting to see your kid and what they're doing, but that's for only our own selfish reasons. We, of course, want to watch our kids and see what they're doing, but ultimately, we put them in a sport to see if they like it. It's not about us as parents. You put your kids in school and don't hover over the teacher and watch her in classroom or expect a request of permission to make any simple decision for your child. You trust them. The coach is the same thing. Trust us to teach your kid responsibly, accountably, commitment, respect, and trust the process. Also, Def don't agree with the backlash Candace gets for missing a choreography practice with coverage to watch her son play football. It's volunteer, it's unpaid, and believe me, there aren't people knocking down the doors to volunteer coach anything anymore. It's 100% a do as I say, not as I do when you're their coach. I can miss a practice with no one needing to know why, and as long as I made arrangements to make the practice still continue on without me, it's fine. We need to be grateful for volunteers that coach with passion, not even their own kids' teams, because if they don't do it, your kid wouldn't have a sport to participate in at all. And if you're a parent, chances are you don't know much about what it entails to coach a sport, and again, need to trust the process and not talking about it amongst yourselves, because it's extremely hurtful to be a volunteer coach and hear people talking about your choices and not just be grateful to them. And rant. Ha ha ha. That's my opinion, but I love all of you. Missing you on TV and enjoyed the podcast. Nicole.
All right, who's smoking it, Nicole?
Yeah, you. She wants to smoke
Nicole?
With
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Nicole. I can't smoke with Nicole because I agree.
All right, you agree with Nicole. Yeah. If Marky, Nicole, let me just say this to you. If Marky was there, again, she's brand new at this. She's 4 years old. She doesn't even know what the heck is going on. You know, one minute she's a unicorn, the next minute she's a mermaid with a tail on, the next minute she's a jet plane fire. Like, yeah. That's what they are at 4 years old, okay? But this resonated with her, okay? So my thing is, I am not, again, that parent that says, oh, my kid has to hit every time. My kid has to be, I'm not that parent. I never was, okay? Never will be. I agree that she has to learn and she has to go through some hardship to become a better person. I think that sometimes the coaches, especially what I'm seeing with cheer, all right, sorry Nicole, I'm gonna smoke at you here. I think it's more about the parent. Okay, well, we're gonna win that trip to Disney, we're gonna get to the Nationals, we're gonna, these kids don't know that at this age.
Oh, they know.
At 4 years old they do not.
Trust me, they were jumping up and down.
At 4 years old they do not. All right, it's just they don't have the brain power.
They
yes,
do.
If you tell a 4 year old I want to go to Disney, of course they're gonna jump up and down.
I didn't even say Disney, but I don't even want to get them excited.
But the thing is this, all right, I think, now, I'm happy to hear when I asked you, if that was you in that room, and you and not even Marky, any other child, what would you have done? You would have handled it differently, all right? I think there has to be a little bit more attention paid to the fact that they are very, very young, and you can teach them these very valuable, important lessons, okay, with kindness.
Yes.
It does not have to be so hardcore, so strict, because their little brains cannot process
it. A lot of people think that I'm always hardcore or whatever, and if you were in the practice with me, you would think completely different, because sometimes, even like the choreographer, she was with us again the following week. She's like, I don't know how you do it, because I'm super patient with them. And I sit with them and I'm like, okay, like, especially the little ones, like, don't, you know, come over here. Like, I help them
now,
over
the,
and
the
over.
The way you just said that, okay, come over here. I watch the tape. You see, because Candace sends us all the tapes.
Yeah, I send them videos.
We see them all the time,
the
videos, because we get a kick out of seeing Marky and all the other
hysterical.
Kids. It's hysterical. It's like going to, you know, this is the way I equate this to, all right? When you go to, Marky's in dance also. My daughter was in dance. Christopher was in dance when he was younger, hip hop. All right. My favorite part of going to these recitals, as torturous as they are, is seeing the little ones. Who's rolling around on the stage? Who's standing backwards? Who's standing? But guess what? They're part of something. They feel like they've done something. So I think you have to take that approach. And I think it's just entirely too hard-nosed and entirely too strict and entirely too severe. Now, that other person, you sent me a tape. We were watching it. There was one little girl that was out of line. She went, move over. Get over. And you said, honey, move. Come on, guys. That's the way you approach it.
You got to also understand that it's coming from a mom and not a mom. I'm a mom, so I know how to talk to a 4-year old.
Well, don't you think that's a valuable thing to have in every, in every sport, to teach us? And I'm not talking 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. They have brains and they have a thought process and they can think for themselves. At this young age, they only said to themselves, and Marky said it, what was, oh, I did something wrong? Was I fresh?
No.
She went home thinking she was bad,
no.
That she was being punished. And nobody ever explained to her, because how can you explain it? And that's my point. There was, I am sure, get the kids water. Marky, you're in charge of holding the spirit stick. Something to make her feel like she was part of that experience. Because she came away from that not understanding. And she still doesn't understand. And that is a very important thing that I think you guys as coaches, and you may say, oh, no, you don't understand the life of a coach. Maybe I don't, but I certainly do understand the life of bringing up a child. All right?
Well,
and that's the difference.
To this point, dear Albie, cheer. Cheer is a sport all on its own. Cheer moms are normally grown women who can't let go of their own pom-poms for 20 years ago. It's a cult-like sport with rules and regulations written by women wearing huge bows on top of their heads and sporting satin cheer jackets with their names embroidered on them, LOL. They are easy to spot. They are the women mimicking the routines from the bleachers. With that being said, I believe the no pee rule and show up regardless of how you feel is way too much for a four-year-old. Competitiveness in these coaches is far more intense than any young child can understand or endure. If I was told I could not see my child practice and was scolded for doing so, that's a red flag and I'd make the window bigger. I agree with Lauren's comment that her question about her four-year-old daughter should have been answered in a clear and concise manner, not told she doesn't understand because she's not a cheer mom, or she should not have even known that Marky was crying because she broke the rules by looking. I call BS on that. She is four. This is cheer. Let's not destroy her self-confidence before she gets to kindergarten. Good luck. Ex-cheerleader, not a cheer mom.
So I get to respond. I get to go. Yes, what's the name of that person?
She didn't say.
All right, Smokey. I'm going to give the smoke.
Smokey cheer mom.
This is not the sport for her. She should never sign up. Everyone's forgetting something very important here. When you sign the papers on the top, it says competitive cheerleading.
Then why are you insisting that she stays in it if we clearly know it's not the sport for
because,
her?
No, I'm talking to that woman on the paper. Oh. But yes, not the sport for her. These are the rules that were laid out on the paper when you signed up. Competitive cheerleading. If you don't want your kid in that kind of world, this is not the sport for you. You go to rec cheer. That's it. As far as with everything with Lauren, I explained why I want her in this. Because I do think that it would be very beneficial for Marky to have that experience. I think that you get a family out of this, and you get an experience that you would never get. Like, it is a hardcore world, and it is competitive, and that's why it's called competitive cheerleading. And I do think that the pride you have at the end, and the sense of accomplishment, and the feeling of you get with this group that you're gonna grow up with until whatever, if you decide to stay in the program, is unmatched. And it's something that I would love for her to have. And I just, all I'm asking Lauren is to give it a full year.
All right, this is my argument. All right, great camaraderie, great experience. Yes, I agree with all of that.
Right.
I agree with all of that. My argument is and always will be, take the competitive cheer out of it and put compassion into it. All right, as a mother.
We have nothing but compassion, believe me.
I didn't see it.
Listen, you didn't see it because you weren't in the whole practice. The compassion, if you could even, I wish that people for once could see how it is in there, because there's a lot of love. And yes, sometimes it's tough, but especially with the babies, it's always like they come back. They and by the way, I just want to say this too. This choreographer that everybody was like saying is so tough and whatever, she is tough. Don't get me wrong. She's tough. After the last practice, this is our last choreography practice, this last one that just went over, and she's done, and she's not coming back now because now it's just us, you know, coaching them because the choreography is complete. All the girls, bye, I'm not going to say her name, but bye, all your leave. They were so sad to see her go. And I was like, I wish I could record this and show everybody, because as much as she was tough with them and as much as, you know, it was hard and you know, sometimes like, this thing with Marky, they all appreciated and loved her back. Like,
well,
they really did.
I will say this. The teachers I remember in my life were the hardest on me.
Yes.
Now, like, you know, kind of do it to it. But, you know, I understand other people's points, too, are you know, there are also teachers and coaches that I had that made it about themselves, and they were
right
detrimental. You know what I mean? So you know the difference.
Of course.
But it so it's not always the same thing, but the people that I think are the toughest on you for the right reasons, because they want to see you grow, that are tough and then say, hey, do it this way.
Would you agree that that's an approach to take to a four-year-old?
I think that
there's a different way to do it.
Here's the thing. I think that there are things that I have seen people be good at, right? I'll watch somebody play guitar and I'm like, holy shit, look at how, not that I ever, like, you know, said to myself, oh, I want to take music lessons or whatever the sport things were. When I was playing hockey in high school, I would work my ass off to get as good as kids that started when they were, let's say, 8, 9 years old.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
and we made him do that.
But like, so I'm saying, if I do think, though, the early you can find your kid's passion,
100%.
The better off they're going to be in getting an edge in what we have created as a competitive world, competitive culture. However, the key word, I think, is their passion.
Right. Correct.
So if this becomes Marquis's passion, then absolutely. Maybe the only way you're going to learn that is by sending them through a program where it's a little bit more regimented and
exactly.
extreme.
Exactly. That's exactly what my point is, Al.
Because then at that point, you're kind of ready for anything. So you're going to go through a program where if you wanted to go join whatever kind of travel thing you have going on, it makes more sense, you know?
100% with what Al said.
Do you think on that day, okay, and we're going back to that day, mm-hmm. do you think that it would have, I'm trying to find the word. Do you think by this choreographer showing empathy for a minute with Marky would have changed the experience for her? Do you think that this, do you think it would have hurt the choreographer and the mindset this has cheered to include her in some way, shape, or form away from the routine? You know?
No, look, I here's the thing. I think that I look at it in both ways, right? I think that it's really, really easy to assume that anybody else's job is easy mm-hmm. on what they should do when there's someone that you care about being negatively impacted or what we think is negatively impacted by the result of their decisions, right? So like that's easy for me to say, but at the same time, if Marky, it depends so much too, I think, on the role of people that are influencing her also, where if Marky says, okay, I want to work harder at that to get to this place and I'm going to be encouraged by this, mm-hmm. you know, then great, right? Like I sat, as you very well know, I made almost no teams. You know, we had that conversation in high school. I made no teams in high school. I started playing when I was a sophomore. I was the third string player on the JV team, and it's only because you weren't allowed to get cut.
Right.
Right. And by junior high school, I am starting in JV, barely kind of almost made the varsity team. And then by senior year, I was captain of the whole thing. And I went,
right.
But because I was so, I was,
you
it
wanted
was
to work for
I was
it.
Driven
but,
by that. But at 4 years old, are you going to get that? No.
Right.
But I'll tell you, well, maybe, maybe not. But I'll tell you this, a little embarrassing to bring this up on this podcast.
Come on down.
But was I not, like, I got mental
right
over the first game that I was ever taught to play, which was chess. Mm-hmm. I got insane.
Right.
Okay. Like I'm not, I didn't just happen. Okay. I was made like this.
Yeah. Right?
And for some reason they had a chess club and my mother put me into it. Next thing I know I'm getting lessons. I don't know that I asked for these things. I have no idea, but I got really good at it and I got obsessed with this whole trophy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, and all of a sudden, okay, we're playing. And one day I'm like, all right, I'm good. So like, I don't know. Like there are little things that you might find something and get attached to it and take it off and run. But I think the earlier you find your kid's passion, the better off you are, but it's got to be theirs. So I don't necessarily, not that I don't question what coaches do in terms of a safety standpoint and all that, that's a different thing. But I do understand where people are saying when they say trust the process, if that's the process you're signing up for. And if you don't like the process, then don't sign up for it.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. Like Lauren, you know, Lauren and I don't know Vito's position. Vito is an athlete, so I don't know what he thinks about it. The thing is this, I look at it through, again, Albie played chess, and I'll tell you how you started playing chess. You were in...
Well, you know who I talk about it with sometimes, because the people around us make a huge impact on our lives, and the pressures can cause those relationships to change for better or worse. And I've got, frustration can grow out of relationships with family and friends. We see this.
Right.
It's right here. So whether you're having complicated feelings about a relationship or just need a neutral person to talk to, Talkspace Online Therapy connects you to a licensed professional to help you work through it. Because, I mean, look, listeners are going to love Talkspace because by the sounds of it, somebody's got to go to therapy. Okay, whoever's writing in, mm-hmm. one of these people at this table, I go. It's very, very helpful. I enjoy it very much. Okay.
I think therapy is a wonderful thing.
I think I drain every one of them that I talk to, but it's fine. That's not a conversation for here. But Talkspace is ready to help you start feeling better with a single message. Set goals with your Talkspace therapist to develop techniques to cope in difficult times. Talkspace offers individual therapy, couples therapy, and medication prescription services. Talkspace is the number one online therapy platform. There are thousands of licensed therapists available for you to match with across dozens of specialties. It's not like they have specials, like a restaurant. Specialities. Or is it specialties?
It's specialties.
It's specialties. Specialties.
I like specialties. It sounds better.
How did this happen to me?
Put your own little flair on it. Specialities. Okay.
Specialities.
Dozens of specialties, including anxiety, depression, relationships, and more. Talkspace works around your schedule at your convenience with live video sessions and unlimited messages with your dedicated therapist. If you need a little support to help you through at the end of the year or want to start building towards a better upcoming year, Talkspace is here to help. Match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month with promo code DEARALBIE. That's $100 off when you use DEARALBIE at Talkspace.com. I wish they gave speech therapy.
No, you did good.
My lisp is still there.
It's fine.
The remnants.
It's all right. It looks good. It sounds good.
Anyway.
But yeah, that's it.
Going back to my point, all right, I'll tell you how you started playing chess. You were in Montessori school, and then you noticed the kids playing chess after school, and I was holding your hand, walking you out, and you were all of 4 years old or something, however old you were.
You're bending the light to make it.
No, you were older than four. You were probably about six. And you said, Mom, they're playing chess. And I'm like, all right, you want to try? And you went, yeah. And you went and you joined the chess club, and you started really becoming interested in it. And then I hired the guy to come to the house because I thought it was a great sport for you to do, because it encourages thinking and critical thinking and stuff like that. So he came to the house every week, and you progressed pretty well. You did really well. And then one day you said, done. I'm like, cool, done. With hockey and everything else, you know, again, we're not those parents that think our kids should play just because they have a right to play. Earn your spot. And that you could attest to that, Albie. That's how Mom and Dad always were. With everything, with school, with college, with anything, earn your spot. Work hard to be there. However, there was a very compassionate side to it. I think this is very new to me, but I've seen you over the years with Olivia and stuff like that. And I, you know, with sports on the field, there are those parents that just get a little bit too crazy about it. And we're not solving curing cancer, and we're not solving, you know, the ozone layer here. These are children that barely are learning who they are in this world, and you have to do it with an eye on that this is a four-year-old we're talking about. So there's a way to handle a four-year-old, teaching them, yes, teamwork, teaching them, yes, hard work, dedication, but also with empathy and kindness, and I just don't see it happening
here. There are people that are asking now. So here's another one for Ken. Dear Albie, you guys, this is crazy. I was a career cheerleader. Raised in Franklin Lakes from the 70s, cheered Rex League when I was in grade school, then at Franklin Avenue Middle School, all through graduation from Indian Hills into college and out of state. Experienced more competitions than necessary in life, and I'm heartbroken thinking of a four-year-old and her feeling of isolation and separation during cheer practice. Regardless of the rules, why couldn't there be innovation as Albie asked? Maybe some stretching, strength training, let's work out our splits, anything. I understand Candace needs to keep structure. However, there can be more inspiration and encouragement for a better program. Let the tiny ones be inspired and let's teach them teamwork during every session. Teaching takes effort. Barking rules takes little and offers little. A four-year-old needs not learn cheer from a school of hard knocks. That's ridiculous. Judy.
Judy from Franklin Lakes, right on, girl. Learn
so,
Candace Smoke Show.
Judy for the smoke. Like I said, Lauren saw a total of, 10 minutes of the practice. We give them tons of compassion and tons of praise and tons of niceness. I mean, no one's barking orders. And as a cheerleader that's for your whole life, like you say, then you would understand what choreography is. And for those who don't know, when you have your routine choreographed, these parents that are signed up paid thousands of dollars for this choreographer to come for a few short hours to teach them this routine. And then the coaches work the routine over and over throughout the course of the next few weeks till they get it perfect for their first competition. But those choreography practices are, we have a hired choreographer in there to do the job of teaching the routine. So there's really not time to say, okay, well, this one's not involved because these two are absent, so we're going to make up something. Like, that's not what they're there to do. They're there to teach them the routine. So they're not going to go ahead and make up little things to make everybody, you know, included. That's our job as the coaches once the choreography's done. And we do, because there are several parts, like I said, this is not going to be a one-off thing. There are several parts in the routine where Marky's nuggeting or somebody else is nuggeting or whatever because they can't do a back walk over, this, this, and that, which is normal. Olivia does that in her routine now. Like, that doesn't stop. That'll continue for the rest of her career. So, you know, once we start regular practice, that's our job to do that, but not during choreography, because they're there to just do this, get it done within the hours that they're being paid for, and then we take over. So there's plenty of compassion. There's so much fun. There's a reason that these girls come back year after year after year and treat it like a family. None of that would be happening if it was just barking orders. None of that's true. You know, maybe for the 10 minutes that you're looking in with no sound, it may appear that when, you know, whatever, but it's not the case. And I think that once, you know, people see, once you guys see, what it's, you see her now coming home and being all excited and saying stuff.
She told
stuff.
Me yesterday she didn't want to go to cheer because she cries. She told me and Lauren yesterday.
She told, and Lauren told me that she showed her the whole routine and said, I can't wait for the
she
stick
did.
And this, this,
she
and that.
Did. And I told her I was super proud of her and I said, let me see you stand clean.
Yeah.
And she did all that. However, it leaves a mark on them. All right. And you don't realize it. It leaves a mark on them.
I can understand that. But I also, I do personally, I hear these things. I do see video of her having a good time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Then she does.
Because.
But it clearly leaves an emotional
mark on them. And you guys
also
like dig on her. Like I see the other day, that whole thing with the yummy thing. They said, what did you say?
Well, she out of nowhere, she said it.
Yeah, like that's not even true. I feel like you
but
guys.
But where would she come up with?
Because I think you guys are talking about stuff in front of her and putting these things in her head, like the neck thing with the tumbling. She won't do a roll. I know she could do a roll. I know it because during tryouts she did a roll, but now she won't do a forward roll. She goes, "No, my neck." I know that's you.
Well, I'll say, "Don't break your neck."
Yeah, but you're saying that to her. It's she's.
No, I'll say to Lauren, "Lauren, don't let this kid break her neck."
Yeah, but you say it in front of her. She's like a sponge.
Out of nowhere, I'm driving her home yesterday. And she says to me, we were driving somewhere with Lauren. We're going to dinner, something. We were all in the car. And she said something about cheer. And she said, I won't mention some names. We don't want to go to cheer because we cry and it makes us scared. And now we're like, no, cheer is fun. You should go there. And she goes, well, Yummy loves it when the, she goes, I love it most when the window and door is closed because Yummy says parents can't watch. And Lauren and I looked at each other and we went hysterical laughing.
Literally,
I'm like, where did she hear that?
We literally have never even spoken to them about the parents not watching
or
the window and door. Never once. That, my friends, is from you guys having this conversation
in front of her.
That is bullshit.
No.
I know. So Lawrence told me that you guys have discussed this in front of her.
No, we don't.
I feel like that is picked up from you guys because there has never been a conversation with me and Marky about the window.
She said to me yesterday,
maybe she listened to the show.
She slept over the other night. She was wearing a little cheer bow. And she left it here, so I brought it home to her yesterday. And I said, here's your cheer bow. And I said, you got to wear it to cheer this week. And you don't have cheer this week or something?
We do, tonight.
Thursday, maybe you don't have cheer?
Tuesday, we don't.
Okay.
You know, it would be very inconvenient if one of them showed up with a pimple. So have any of you guys had an acne breakout come at the worst possible time? I know I have. One time, I could think of multiple times in life, had a film, big pimple, big problem. Didn't pop it because back then there wasn't Instagram in the day. I wasn't as obsessed with the pimple popping videos. But we've all had struggles with our skin, and that's why we're expected to partner with. We are excited, expected to. Jesus, what's going on today?
I don't know, Al.
Just figure it out.
Ugh. We've all had struggles with our skin, and that's why we're excited to partner with Apostrophe, the sponsor of this episode. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed oral and topical medications that are clinically proven to cure up acne. Apostrophe connects you with a board-certified dermatologist who will create a personalized treatment plan specifically tailored for your unique skin. Simply fill out Apostrophe's online quiz about your skin goals and medical history, then snap a few selfies with your dermatologist to create a treatment plan. Apostrophe treats acne, and they can help you hit other skincare goals like reducing redness, wrinkles, and even dark spots, which I'm into. I'm very into the anti-aging, bringing it backwards.
Totally.
Okay? Very, very big, high on the agenda right now as I get a little older. So we have a special deal for our audience. Save $15 off your first visit with Apostrophe Provider at apostrophe.com/DearAlby when you use our code DearAlby. That is, this code is only available to our listeners, so to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/DearAlby and click Begin Visit. Then use our code DearAlby at sign up, and you'll get your first visit for only $5. That's apostrophe.com/DearAlby, and use that code DearAlby to get your dermatologist-crafted treatment plan for $5, and we thank Apostrophe for sponsoring this episode. You may continue.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. My point in all this again is saying, going back again, yes, children should learn teamwork. Yes, children should know to work hard to achieve a goal. Yes, nothing should be handed to them. I do think in this cheer world, what I've seen in competitive cheer, and may be true in other sports as well, I don't know, all right, that there has to be some compassion put in there. And I, you know, you tell me you don't have time, the choreographer doesn't have time. Then I suggest you start to think about a way for them to approach a situation like this again, because whether you believe it or not, it does leave an impression on the child because they cannot process it at their age. So I'm not saying they shouldn't work hard. I'm not, and I certainly don't think they should be handed anything. I am not that person that believes a trophy goes to everyone at all. I do believe is compassion in the right time, in the right place, and at a four-year-old mind, they cannot process.
Well, let's hear from someone else that has a bit of a different opinion.
Okay.
LOL families. Just kind of saying like that, sarcastic.
Okay.
Disclaimer, I swam competitively and coached. I am also a retired teacher and parent of two. As a kid, my parents dropped me off at practice and then picked me up later. As a coach, I did not ban parents from observing, but man, I sure wanted to. As a parent, my kids hated organized sports and have never excelled at any of them, and that was really hard. One, Lauren, you have one job. Get her there in the right uniform with the necessary equipment. That's all. For your own sake, don't watch practices. Watching your kids try and fail is very stressful. She doesn't need to carry your anxiety. Go play on your phone, run an errand, take a nap in your car, whatever. Just stay in your lane. Two, being part of a team is a commitment and an honor, and no one can make for anyone else. Marky, even at four, understands the assignment. She has to try as hard as she can for all the other girls on her team. She doesn't need any more pressure than that. She just needs to know win, loss, success, or failure. You all love her and will always be there for her. I think you all have that part handled. Three, please do not delude yourselves into believing that Marky is not aware of absorbing this kerfuffle involving the people she needs the most in her life. Being all upset about something to do with cheer practice, this is not helping. And last, for Candace, because I know she stopped reading three paragraphs ago, girl, you are right about everything. Signed, Rust Belt Boomer.
Rust Belt Boomer. Smoke. Okay.
Yes.
I agree with you on some points, and I completely disagree with you on others. All right? This, again, was Marky being completely isolated from the rest of the team and not understanding why.
I almost took a picture the other day. Actually, I think I did, because we were standing outside of a different team's practice from the gym that we rent space at, and there was another team in there practicing before we started, and the garage door was open. All the parents were parked outside waiting to go, and they were running it through, and which means like doing the routine through, or at least one section, I should say. And there was a group of about six girls just sitting in the back like this.
Six girls. Great.
So, yeah.
But not one isolated child.
So whatever it was, they were just sitting there like this and like not doing it. And I was like, I wish that they were here, because this is going to happen.
I get that. Six girls, fine. Two girls, fine. Not one girl all by herself.
But that's going
to
happen too.
No, but she doesn't understand why, and nobody took the time to tell her. Okay, and that's the problem. You're not seeing the problem.
I'm not.
You're trying to boost these kids up, but at the same time, you're tearing them down. They don't know why. They think they're being punished.
Because there's other parts that somebody else is sitting out.
They don't understand that. For that practice, she was completely isolated. If she was with, I don't even care if she was with one other child, okay? She wasn't. She was completely alone, and you guys are missing that mark altogether, not to understand what their brain is saying.
Right.
Okay? You're not getting it.
There is,
all right? You're taking the cheer and the win and the team above the mind of a four-year-old. You're not letting them understand. They simply cannot process. And that's what I'm only trying to say.
So, like I said, this was... I'm not going to beat a dead horse. Mm. It was choreography. If it was happened again, it would happen again. I'm not going to lie. Because that's just
wrong.
The way that it is.
You got to figure shit out then. You got to find a way. If there's
that's
one child.
The way that this goes.
If there's one child, okay, involve them. I don't care if they hold the water. I don't care what they do. Do not let them stand in the back of a room and watch everything happen around them and say, why aren't I part of this? And coming home and not understanding it and going back to the next practice, remembering that, okay? There's something wrong with that equation. So to me, sorry, cheer moms, figure your shit out.
I just think that you guys need to really, 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 really just start to trust that this is going to be something that at the end you look back on and you appreciate all these things.
Yeah, when she's 15.
No, I'm talking about the end of this year. and look back and think, wow, I'm glad that we let her tough this through. And she's going to learn lessons in this. But you guys, like, this is why it's better for you guys not to know. Because like I said, now you the conversation that you guys have are going to drift into her
head. Okay, let me ask you this now. Don't you think it's important as a parent, okay, to know this and to be able to explain to her as a mom when she gets in the car and say, Marky, you know why this happened, honey? This had nothing to do. Instead of a child getting in the car and saying
keeping it inside and not knowing. Exactly what I would have wanted. Her to come out to the car and say, mom, dad, whoever, I had to sit in the back for 15 minutes, whatever it was, while the other girls did it and I did nothing. I would have been like, oh, okay, sometimes that's going to happen. And then what I would have done is quietly text me. Or in, you know, for Lauren's case, I would have texted me and been like, hey, what happened? Why did Marky sit in the back? And then I would have said exactly what happened. And then it would have been over. And I would have explained it to her when I got in the car.
But we didn't bring this to Marky.
Marky brought it to me. I don't want to bring the lady back, but I will. Okay? I don't want to do it, but I will. Are we understood?
Go ahead.
See? That's tough love. All right, hang on, dear Albie and crew. I'm not a cheer mom, and I can feel each person's point of view on this topic, but after the discussion, I have to agree with Candace. Marky set out because what was being taught at that moment didn't apply to her. I played basketball as a child, and I couldn't be involved in every single drill, as it did not apply to me at my position at that time or because they broke us up into smaller groups to learn. If you take a snapshot of every given moment in time, it could look bad or good, but life, conversations, even cheerleading sometimes require context. Listening to this conversation, the issue seems to be more about three women's extreme love for a child and not about the great job that Candace is doing coaching. Marky cried, that breaks my heart, and I don't even know her, but there was even a mom sitting with her. That to me sounds like the entire coaching staff is really looking after these young girls like their own. I always love and appreciate Caroline and Lauren, and I see their perspective. I don't personally agree that any phone call should have been made to Lauren, saying that you don't bring Marky in because the team wasn't there. Even if you don't get to play, you still have to dress. I think that's the saying.
Yes, it is.
Lauren to me sounded like she simply wanted to ask what was going on, but because she knew because of how well she knows Candace, she knew how their convo would go. Because everyone chatted about it indirectly, things were blown up.
Right.
Caroline, I love you dearly and almost always agree with you, but I think you have you are having the biggest issues with the cheerleading because you are blinded by love and protection of this little girl.
I agree with that.
Life will give her plenty of things to be scared of as she grows up. Let's not make rolling on the mat, breaking her neck, or cheering one of them. Kids may be little, but they hear what you say. All my love for your family and crew. S.
Back at you. Okay. I agree with a lot of you saying, but I also disagree with this. Yes, children should learn lessons. Yes, children should know that they have to be part of a team. I'm going to keep saying it. Yes, children have to know disappointment. I've raised three children, and we have had these issues in sports, and at the same time, and Alba, you can attest to this, we weren't those soft parents, right? He would say we'd be going driving in the car to a game, and he'd say, I don't think I'm going to do good today. I'm going to think we're going to lose. And I would turn the damn car around. Why are you wasting my time? Either you're going to go with your head in the game and you're going to give it your best, or we're going to go home. Which one do you want to do? Many times we had that conversation, okay? With school, with Lauren, with her salon, always pushing them, but at the same time, okay, there's empathy.
Of course, there's empathy.
I feel that you guys just take it too far, and I understand
but
what
you guys
saying.
Only saw 10 minutes.
Here's my thing.
You don't know
Here's
what goes on in there.
Okay, and I'm going to go.
Nobody does.
I'm going to bring it back, okay? When her mind can process, okay, as she gets older, of course, Olivia should be learning all those lessons now because she can process and understand.
Now you got to see. Listen, Olivia started a year after Marky, and she started a year. It was a year later than most of those girls on the team. And you saw it, like Al said, you saw it in her. She had to work twice as hard just to try to keep
as
up.
As she should. That's fine. So but not at 4 years. My point. You're
she
missing
was five.
My whole point.
I'm
you're
not going to.
My whole point.
I see your point,
dedication,
but I just don't agree.
Hard work. Teamwork. Yes, yes, yes. Okay? But you are losing sight of the fact that we probably have a jar of pickles in our refrigerator that's older than this kid. All right? And that's my point. I'm exaggerating. You have to have empathy that is a four-year-old standing there.
We do. And that's why we do all the spirit
sticks
and stuff like that.
You admitted to it that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't shown that day.
No, I didn't. I did not say that. I think it was 100% shown. We said the coach sat on the floor with her the whole time. I never.
You're backtracking because I asked
you.
No, I never.
There wouldn't have happened.
No, I said it would have happened exactly that you said. Can everybody ask? You heard the episode. Didn't I say that if I was there, nothing would be different?
One thing you did say that, but one thing nothing I will say, different. One thing about how Marky would have, where Marky would have been, but you said you would probably been.
I would have done what Jamie Lillis did.
So all right, all fine, but you know, here we go. I think number one, this is going to have to be a two-part, and Lauren's going to have to come in. We'll close on this one. Dear Albion crew, wow, what an episode. I can relate so very much to both Lauren and Candace, as I used to coach a competitive dance team outside of Chicago, and I'm now a mom to a son who is a bit older than Marky. To add more fire to my background fuel, I used to teach grades 6 through 12, which allowed me to see many students through the years and involve a variety of sports and activities. While I truly, truly respect Candace's commitment to coaching and the work ethic she's no doubt instilling, modeling for her teams, I have to 100% lean with Lauren's perspective on all of this. Cheer, dance, etc. is an intense world, and Lauren is totally right that this might not be the fit for Marky. That does not mean that Lauren is coddling Marky or wants special treatment. It isn't what Candace is saying. It's how it's being said. I love the pod, and I'm excited to chime for my first time. Keep it up. Sincerely, Colleen. P.S. Candace is 100% correct about the no peeing at practice. I will give her that. So she agrees with Lauren about it might not be.
And I got it. I agree with everything she said in that thing. I'm not even going to blow smoke because I do think.
No, it's not smoke, really.
She's agree right. with what she said.
And I do feel like if Lauren gives this a full year, because I want her to get the full experience.
She's going
to
get the full year.
And then at the end of this year, if she says, you know what, Can, it's just not for me, I would say 100% go. You gave it a try. You gave it a full year. You really might not be for you. It's not for everybody. But I just feel like it would be a great experience for her. I would love for her to have that feeling. And then at the end of that, if she feels like it's not for her, I would be the first one to say, try something else. Because you, like you said, Al, it has to be your passion. If you don't love it, it's not for you. It becomes horrible.
I think we have to just kind of, in moments like this, I think we just pay attention, right?
And you give it time.
Yeah.
And you trust the process.
Look, there are plenty of things. Look, there's also something to be said where I think the job of parenting and guiding comes in is understanding the nuances and maybe even the body language of your kids.
Right.
And then saying to yourself, okay, well, if you don't like something, right, like it's easy to not like or be frustrated by something that you're not good at.
Of course.
That's really, really, really easy to do.
Very, very.
So in my opinion, what ends up happening is, okay, well, this isn't going how I want it to, so I'm annoyed and I don't want to play this sport anymore.
Yes.
And
I'm not saying that's what's happening. So I'm saying that's a factor or something to watch.
Right.
At the same time, your kid could come home and say, I love this so much, but might be being pressured by maybe her friend group or this or that to do something that she might not be passionate
also
about.
True.
So you got to be able to read your kids.
Right.
So it comes down to what is the age that you could take what they're saying at complete face value.
Correct.
And also, are you comfortable with the activity that you are signing up for?
Right.
So if you're not comfortable with the idea and the premise, and this is where I think the coaches got to get involved, you got to be really clear with these parents. Hey, dude, you want to get in this program? No problem. But this is how we're running this shit.
And that's
it.
We did.
If you don't like it, I don't want to hear about it later. Because I do agree.
Right.
That there are a lot of people that are volunteering and all this stuff that, especially in today's world, you got to be really appreciative of. At the same time, there are a lot of people that wrote in and say, hey, I've got concern because of today's world not being able to see my kid, which is very, very valid.
Right.
So at that point, I think you've got to look at this. And as parents, what you've got to do, it's say to yourself, okay, what sort of things am I exposing my kids to at all to determine whether or not they're passionate about it? Because I think naturally you're going to expose them to things, okay, that you yourself have a predisposed positive outlook or an interest in or something that you did when you were younger, okay? What's interesting about this is I'm fairly certain Lauren tried to cheer for about a week, and there's a picture of it somewhere.
No, the football thing when the
powder puff. That was eye black. I think she actually tried to cheer for a hot second.
No, I don't
know.
Lauren never tried to cheer.
All right, well,
but yes, I agree with you, Al, 100%. I feel the same way. I just think that we give it time. See how she feels. Let her be the one to decide. We ask a lot of questions like, oh, how do you like that? Like, not really leading her either way, and just let it go and see how it goes. And then at the end of the year, she could love it or she could hate it. You know, you got to just give it time. There's no way to determine what's going to go on. I could promise everybody in this world that these kids get nothing. They love us. They hug us. They cry. They want to be with us. Hold my hand. This and that. Like outside of cheer when I see them, they're excited. None of that would be happening if we weren't nice to them or compassionate or any of those things. And as far as the parents go, we have a big parent meeting before the sport, even before you even sign up. And we tell them exactly what's going to be laid out in front of them. We give them a package with pricing. You got to remember, this is not cheap. This is thousands of dollars. So you are all laid out. Like, this is what's expected. This is what time practice is. This is your, it's drop off. You are not going to watch anything. Everything is laid out. So at that point, what else can we do? We lay it out. We treat your kids like they're our own. We go over and beyond. We're not getting paid. We're doing everything that we think is best for the team as a whole. I don't think, like, you know, we got to kind of cut it some slack. And as the coach, it is very difficult. I talked about this week with the other coach, with Jamie. We discussed it. And it's very difficult, especially when you have a close relationship with somebody. Somebody actually said in the comments, it's just that family shouldn't coach family. And I never thought about it like that until now. And I do understand that 100% because it's very, very hard for you guys to not be emotional towards me because you can be. Like, if the first year Olivia's coach, I didn't know her from anybody. So I never said a damn word.
I actually worry. You know, it's funny that you bring that up. I wonder if I would think of it differently if you weren't the coach.
Exactly. You would.
Like, meaning I think I am almost, I'm weirdly, maybe I have the opposite look at this.
You're more comfortable.
I'm weirdly more comfortable with the decision that gets made, thinking, okay, Candace isn't going to make the decision if that's going to be something that is going to intentionally put Marky in position X.
Of course. We're not looking for favoritism. Okay, here's the thing. All right, this is my take will not change on this. All right. I think as a parent, when my kids were growing up, I went to all their practices, A, because God forbid they got hurt, I wanted to be there, all right? B, when they did something great, the first thing they did is look up in the stands and see mom and dad. If they failed, the first thing they did is look up in the stands and see mom and dad.
Yeah.
And it became an experience that I could be by my kids, where I could gauge how they were doing, if they were happy, talk about their failures, celebrate their successes. It's all part of the package. Same way when you went to school, I picked them up every day until they were able to drive and got themselves home, whatever. Because when they were walking out of school, I read their expressions and I could see if they walked out sad or mm-hmm. happy. And I was able to discuss and talk about it with them. Right. All right. I think as a parent, okay, you should have the right to be able to see your child, especially at that age. All right. Because then you could have a conversation with them and give them the tough love that they need or the support that they need. So when you're barred from seeing that, I think that affects your relationship with the child
and
that
sport. And that is 100% correct, which is why Lauren was the big winner in all this, because she says, I think, the right thing. Maybe the sport isn't for us.
Right, but speaking that's the rule.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, if that's, I don't disagree with anything that you're saying. So if you sit me down and my kid doesn't know what the hell cheer is, okay? And I sit down with the coach and they're like, oh yeah, it's awesome, blah, 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 but we black out the windows, you can't see anything. And therefore, I'm gonna be like, all right, man, that's awesome. Good luck running the Dallas Cowboys with a bunch of 4-year-olds.
And I think the tipping point that it was Candace.
End of the day, I'm not signing up for that. Right. That's what I'm gonna do. Right. There are other people that are super passionate about it that are gonna get it.
Right.
Now, I'm just not that person.
I think if it wasn't Candace being a coach, I don't think Willerman would have ever done that.
Okay. So, like, that being said, though, you know, you're not going to then say, all right, well, because the coach is Candace, let's give Lauren a small piece of the window and everybody else stand on the side.
I think that Lauren would have never signed her up, okay? But I think...
Well, right. And that's a different thing.
I think that whole thought process is wrong, okay? I think it's wrong.
No, but hold on, though. It's impossible. But if that's what Lauren's going to do, okay, the Lauren as a cheer mom has to communicate with Candace as a cheer coach to say, listen, I'm only doing it for the following things, and you got a set of rules. And then in which case, if Candace isn't going to be there, it's messed up if she doesn't let Lauren know. If you guys have those kind of conversations.
And that's not the conversation we have.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's what I'm thinking. I thought, you know, after kind of watching everything, Lauren made a lot of sense. And I think the way she's approaching it makes sense. And I think that everybody's got a lot of, you know, everybody loves the kid, obviously. And I think that you're going into a situation where it's easy to make it bigger than it is, and it's easier to dismiss it as something smaller than it is. Because to me, everything in Marky's life is a huge deal, right? But at the same time, you know, it's just, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. And I think it's an interesting little thing.
So guys, we'll see what happens.
Go ahead. Right. Go
That's
ahead.
It. I think that we just let this. I really, 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 really hope if anything could come out of this, because this has been horrible. I want everybody to know that.
Listen, we're not arguing.
No, it's been horrible. It has.
Why?
It's because it's been horrible because it's hard to, when you want somebody, you want the best for somebody, and everyone's like, this is they're putting their opinion, and you're trying to do. Like, imagine, like, trying to run up the road and everyone's, like, pulling you back.
I know
back.
That feeling very well.
Yeah, so that's what it feels like.
Just say labia and everyone will labia.
Yeah, like, I just want to be able to, even in the room now, like, I talked about this with Jamie, it's difficult because we're coaching these girls and you look at a video and you're like, well, you know, she's the lead and she's doing whatever, like, what Lauren says. And I'm like, yeah, but I can now I'm nervous because I could redirect all the other girls in there. Like, if they're doing something that's not right, I could quickly show them, like, okay, guys, do this, you know, try it like this. But I'm nervous to do that with Marky, that she's going to go outside and then tell you guys.
Let me ask you this.
I feel
right?
like I can't coach her I coach the rest of them.
Here's what I would say. Do you think the actions that you are taking, okay, is what's or instinctively want to take is what is best for Marky?
Always.
Do you think that those actions will create a problem with Lauren?
I think that if it's like, if Marky goes outside and says, Yummy told me that I wasn't doing this right and I had to do this and it made me sad, Lauren will be like, I don't understand. And like,
but as a
coach,
yeah.
I have to tell you if you're not doing something
right.
Well,
I think that it's personally on that note of it, I think that then it would be the type of thing where Lauren's got to make her own decision if that's the case. And you know Marky better, so maybe you know the way to talk to her to get the best out of her.
I disagree with that statement, Candace.
No,
that happened. Lauren's pretty tough.
No,
on
that happened last practice.
Lauren's
when
pretty,
I sent a photo.
Marky doesn't get away with too much with Lauren.
No, but, right?
but
I'm saying every little thing I do is now
right. but
judged
I
thing.
I think that ultimately maybe people then at that point have a point about, you know, not listen.
That's why I don't want her to see anything.
Not coaching with family and all that. I'll tell you right now, then I made all the wrong moves. Because I'm working with family, I'm potting with family, I got family all over me.
But you're not realizing this happened when Lord Candace wasn't there, so it had nothing to do with
No,
Candace.
But there's been things that happen while I am there, too.
Right, so like what I think I'm saying is, ultimately, everybody's on the same, you know, no pun intended, team, right?
Yeah.
So I think that personally, I agree with the idea of if you're going to put her into a process, you've got to trust the process.
Must.
But the second that process is no longer working for you and that kid, you get her out of the process. And I think that that's a decision that only Lauren can make.
Okay. My closing statement will be this. Okay. If Lauren wasn't watching, Lauren would have never known. And
right.
Marky would not have been able to have a conversation about it. All right. To her
Well,
mom.
We don't know that. She might have come outside and said something.
We don't know that.
Well,
okay,
let me ask you this. Now, this is different because I didn't consider this. Do you send out almost like an agenda for practice to everybody?
No, but what I do, I can't because you don't know what's going to happen in practice. Like sometimes it changes. They do the routine. You notice something's a mess. You work
on
that
whole
practice.
You said on a certain day that it's choreography.
Yes. So
right.
everybody knew that choreography was the first couple weeks.
So my point is, if there's going to be something that's going to happen like that, right? And to me, there are things that could be far worse that go down in practice, right?
Yes.
Like not reporting an injury would be way worse.
Obviously, crazy.
Right? So like the type of things that we're talking about, when you know choreography, she's sitting out. Could you be to those parents saying, hey, look, your kids, you can either get your kid early
no.
or, hey, this is going on.
I asked her that last week and she said she wouldn't do that because she won't play favoritism.
Right.
And, you know, too bad.
Al, it becomes crazy, believe me, because sometimes you could, like, that stunt. It might have not even, you know, if those two girls went out, like, they might have switched. There's no way to tell. Like, you don't know what's going to happen.
Okay, but at least giving them a heads up. Hey, like, this is the type of thing. This is a wild card kind of day.
What I do, and what has happened with other people and other teams, is like if you have a girl that's struggling, after practice, I send a special text to that parent. FYI, I noticed this in your kid this week, and I see a huge difference, and I'm just so proud of her, and I can't believe that, you know, I thought you should know as the parent, because you're not watching, and I want you to understand that your kid is making progress. And it's a huge change. And like, I've done that for girls on Lauren's team. I did that for Marky. I said that to Lauren last week. I had that exact same conversation. I said, Lauren, I want you to know, yes, the first couple weeks she came in shaky, as any kid would at any age, into a new program. But I saw a change in her last week on Tuesday. I saw it. She's getting it. Mm. And she's making progress, and you could see it in videos.
Here's my closing statement.
Mm. Yeah, okay. This is the second or third one.
I'm going to suggest just to all the sports parents, coaches, etc. out there. I would say to you, read the room. Okay? They're four. All right. Now I think it would have been a much different experience. The way you just said, Candace, you know, all you had to do was shoot Lauren a text, say, listen, Marky's going to be on her own.
But we didn't know that.
You said you knew. Last week you said you knew.
No, but what if they didn't get to the stunt?
Last week.
How do we know how long it's going to take?
Lauren, maybe this is going to happen. So would you just, when you're taking Marky to cheer, tell her, hey, Marky, you may have to sit in the back of the room today, but because your pals didn't show up because they're sick. You knew you weren't going. You knew two girls were going to be
and
out.
And I thought I was only going to be out for a half hour.
Hang on. And listen, we're going to have to wrap this up. Okay, but that's all fine. If you're going to do that.
It's about the child.
Yeah, right.
It's always
do it for every child.
And you can do that, and that's fair to ask for, but then you also can't say, I'm not looking for her to be coddled, because that's coddling.
Yes, and also I'd have to do that for everybody.
No, make her go to practice. She's got to go to practice.
So I just have to warn her in advance?
But you say, so that the mom could have a conversation and say, all right, listen, Mark, you're going to be the only one in the background, but you didn't do anything wrong, because now and as a parent, you filter, but I want you to do is watch everybody, and you practice from behind and do it yourself. It's just a way of motivating a child when things don't go their way, okay, they have to understand that things don't go their way. But
right.
You're motivating them in a different way.
Yes, but the thing is, here's the reality, though, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but what you're talking about doing is your style of raising and coaching, and we can't necessarily expect ourselves out of everybody else. Everyone else is going to have their own style.
Read the room and realize
I understand.
You have little kids that you have
right,
to build
right.
them up every way you can.
Right, and all I'm saying, and I'm not saying that that's wrong, but I think the job would first to be for parents, read the room first and get a read on the type of program and coaches and situation that you're signing up for, and say, do I want this for my kid?
Right.
And then when you do it, okay, just the same way, you know, like, you don't necessarily want, like, let's say Candace isn't in the position to share with us that she's now nervous to address Marky. Right. If you're the parent that's on the coach and now all of a sudden they start addressing your kid differently, or maybe sitting your kid and all that other stuff because they don't want to deal with it. You know what I mean? That might not be helping either. I think there's just two decisions to make. Do I want this for my kid? And am I comfortable with the program? Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then yeah, you got to trust it. I'm not saying that you keep that trust blindly and that's all you do. I'm saying the second you don't like what happens, okay,
pull her.
They're sitting on the side, get her out of there.
Right. Agree.
So I think Al is 100% right, and that's how I'm going to end it. When we went through this program and it was explained at the parent meeting and everything, we lay it all out. And at that point, if you say, you know what, this is what we're going to do, this is the coaching style, this is the way it is, and this is, you know, what we're signing up for, you have to see it through. No one's going to do anything bad to these kids. We love them like they're our own. We treat them like our own kids. We're all moms. We know these people. I've known these parents, almost half of them, my whole lives, you know? Like, my best friend's kids are on the team. They could tell you firsthand. I'm talking about my best friend since I was in third grade.
I was hit up by one of the kids' goddaughters.
Yeah, like, I have their best interest. They
godmothers,
all
I'm sorry,
know it.
Who's got to do the show. Been talking about it for a while.
Yeah, like, and Jamie, too. We all have their best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
We would never do anything bad to these kids. We want nothing more.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that
for them to succeed.
At 4 years old, it doesn't have to be that deep.
Okay.
That's all
I'm
saying.
I've had enough smoke.
Me too.
We'll do another round of smoke with Lauren or something like that. Okay. Love you all.
I don't want to do it. I'm not going to come.
Rate, subscribe. Okay, Christine will do it. Let's smoke Christine. Let's all smoke
Christine. Everybody smoke Christine.
Bye.